We'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter and 6th verse. I'm having a little trouble with my glasses. I like to blame it on my wife, but I'm the one that stepped on them. So I have to take credit for where credit's due. First Corinthians, 3rd chapter, starting the 6th verse. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the blessings You give us in Christ Jesus, for the privilege You have given us, that You call us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light. You place us in one of Your churches, and Lord, You bless us each and every day. You answer our prayers. You strengthen us. You give us the song in our hearts. You open our understanding to Thy Word, and we just thank Thee for all the blessings You give us in Christ Jesus. We pray You bless the services tonight, that everything be done in a decent and in order in a good way, Father, that bring honor and glory unto Thee. We do pray for each one here, that God, the Lord, that You would bless each one according to their needs, and especially those without Christ, that You'd be pleased to save them for Christ's sake. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is Standing in the Ashes, and we'll be reading from chapter 3 as we go through the message. We live in a time when many must think, or they think they must have the Holy Spirit. We are the servants, if you will, and He is the director. And He doesn't serve us, but we serve Him. And when we think about sometimes when things start going wrong, and that is in our point of view. When I was first went to California, there was 40-some-odd churches we could fellowship with, and then there's 20 churches approximately that we kind of have closer fellowship with. And when I left, there was just one. And let me say to you, they just fell away. Now, sometimes it's because we need more numbers. Sometimes that's the motivation. We got to get more people in. And so let's bring out the snare drums or whatever it takes. We need to get more people in. We need to build a bigger facility. We need to do this. We need to do that. And we missed the point. We're here to serve God.
Amen.
And what a privilege we have to be in the Lord's church.
Yes.
I was brought up in a church that had been started right. When I was there, I think it was when I was a kid, I believe it was 100 years old then or 75 years old, so that's an older church. And they, I remember a woman was a Bible salesman come along, and I asked her what kind of Bible she used, whether she used a Protestant Bible or whether she used a Catholic Bible. And she said, well, I don't guess I'd use either one. She says, I'm a Baptist, and I'm not a Protestant, and I'm not a Catholic.
Amen.
He said, what kind of Bible do you use? And she said, I don't know, but it's a Baptist Bible. She knew that.
Amen.
And so I heard, she was talking, the way I heard it, she was talking to some of the other women and says, now, what kind of Bible we use? And, of course, that's using the King James. And I would imagine that the Bible salesman, the Protestant Bible he was trying to sell probably was the King James. And but they knew they was different, but they didn't know why. They knew they was different. They weren't Protestant, but they didn't fully understand. And I don't guess it had been preached for no telling how long. And now, of course, they don't even know what a church is at all. And the point I'm making is that a church can be started right. You can have the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ. It can be built upon correctly, but it has to be maintained.
Amen. Amen.
And that maintaining is staying with the truth year after year, year after year.
Amen.
And that's what I'm preaching on this evening, is staying with the stuff. It is standing that we not stand in the ashes. We think about our sure foundation, as it mentions, is Jesus Christ. So there's no other foundation. That's the claim that the Baptist Church has. That's the claim of a New Testament Baptist Church. That's the claim of the Lord's Church, is He's the foundation.
Amen.
And we have a privilege to be in that church.
Amen.
We have a privilege that God died for us on the cross at Calvary, that Jesus willingly went there and died for us and shed His own blood for us that we might be delivered. That was a blessing beyond our ability to comprehend. And then it pleased us, it pleased Him to place us into a church. And I believe that leaves each one of us with a grave responsibility. We have, in the continuum from the opening of chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I of Cephas, I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" So this is a church with problems. They have divisions in it. They have proud people, and they got gifts, and some misusing the gifts, and all the problems they have going on. And in the second chapter, he reminds them it is by the Spirit of God that their hearts and minds was opened, that they were saved, and they're kept by His power. In chapter 3, he reveals God's ministers have a part in the same work, if you will, that Apollos and that Paul had. That each one, if you will, that build a church, start a church, and add to the church, maintain to the church, has a responsibility. And so we all must conform to Jesus Christ. Although this ministers in this passage, as we'll read, continue to read through, are in view, they're the ones that's building the building, and however they build it is... they have to give an account unto the Lord for. But, you know, if you're in a boat, and as a fellowship or as a church, we're kind of in the same fellowship, we're in the same boat, anybody can get up and rock the boat. And if you rock it bad enough, it'll capsize. And if that boat capsizes, everybody's in the boat goes in the water. And so it's a responsibility not only of the pastors, it's a responsibility of every member of the church. That the church continues giving glory to God and doing the work that God has called us to do. We think about each of us being judged for the part that we play in the church. And somebody said, "Well, I don't do this and I don't do that." Let me say to you, the Lord puts you in the church.
Amen.
And we're reminded that it tells us that each part supplieth what's lacking in Ephesians 4 chapter. And so everybody here has a part. It is our business to find that part and do what God's called us to do. Some can sing, and some of us can't. I've always said that every church lets me sing one solo, and that's it. And some ask me to come back on Saturday. But the point I'm making is some have a gift to sing, some don't. Some are called to preach, some are not. Some can teach, some can't. But let me say to you, every one of us can pray.
Amen.
And some are a lot better prayers than I am. They're more fervent in it. They have a calling to it. And if you do, use it. Every one of us has a part in the church. And the church lacks when each part or any part of it doesn't complete or do what God has called us to do. And so we can be a hindrance to the Lord's work, and we can be a hindrance to the Lord's church, or we can be a blessing to it and honor God in His work. Christ is the foundation of the church. The church's foundation is Jesus Christ, upon which is what we build. If Christ is not the foundation, it's not a church.
Amen.
If it doesn't have that foundation... Somebody said, "Well, preacher, you," when I was preaching along these similar lines, he said, Well, y'all just too high in the sky, you know. You think you're the only ones that are saved. And I said, I never did say that.
That's right.
I just said, we're the church.
Amen.
And he was going on. And I said, y'all do a little sprinkling over there where you're at, don't you? I said, the Bible clearly shows us by immersion. I said, that would tell me right now you're on the wrong foundation. I mean, when people start saying, well, we're all, you know, one faith, we're one this, one that. Let me say to you, when it's contrary to the Scriptures, it's clear they're not in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're not going to preach on each defect that you can find in churches. You have to do this in order to be saved and do this to be a member and do that to do this, that, and the other. Now, let me say to you, the Lord places them in the church and church recognized by a vote, if you will, those whom God's placed in that body. You think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe everybody saved should preach the gospel. I think they should teach the gospel, share the gospel, witness to the gospel, hand out the tracts or whatever it is. I think we should be about the Lord's work. And if God saved you, He saved you for a purpose. And I think the church has a responsibility to gather them in, that they might be taught the all things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be taught to observe the things of Christ. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, as we'll see after a while. And it has responsibility to take that ability of that truth that God has given us and to share it and stay with it and don't compromise it. And sometimes we think one little compromise doesn't matter. I can say I was out there 33 years. I can say one little compromise. You know what that always leads to? Two little compromises. And therefore, you know it, it's big compromises. And next thing you know, I mean, I not very many went this far, but next thing you know, you don't even use the Bible. You know, you don't really even need it. We can use other things to praise God with. Let me say, when you get away from the Word of God, what you have? You don't have nothing. In 1 John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. And the only declaration that we have truly of the Father is through Jesus Christ. And we don't have any other declaration. You say, well, this guy's seen a vision, that guy's seen a vision, and all these things that go on. Let me say, it doesn't make any difference. It is Jesus that gives a revelation of the Father, and He gives it to us through the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, there in 1 Corinthians 15, as it's summarized there, and we'll just read the third, starting the third verse, and it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. There's when we think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And we just start in the book of Genesis and go right on through and see all the sacrifices that were done in the Old Testament. And every one of them speak of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He shows what He was doing for those. We had the peace offering. We had the sin offering. We had this offering and that offering. And all these offerings, and all of them pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, but we don't have an altar down here where we take a lamb or something and that we would kill the lamb and spread and pour out the blood. Why don't we do that? Because Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that. But that's what it took for Jesus to save us. And think about the thousands or hundreds of thousands, and some as ideas as up in the millions of animals that were slaughtered in the Old Testament, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here was one lamb slain, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was slain for the millions, if not the billions.
Amen.
And if you will, he completed what all those others could not do.
Amen.
All they could do is just put a little covering over it, just a Band-Aid over it. But Jesus has done away with it.
Right.
And so we serve such a Savior that is able to deliver us from all of our sins. He is a sure foundation. He's a cornerstone upon which we build. And yes, we build upon His finished work. And let me say to you, there's nothing more important than the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He's done on the cross at Calvary. He is interceding right now on our behalf. And He intercedes for us. We get into jam. We get into trouble. We get ourselves into trouble. We're faced with the devil and his promptings and the temptation from in and all these things. And there's Jesus Christ interceding on our behalf.
Amen.
Spirit of God is interceding within us. We have such a wonderful God that has provided for us in everything that we need. There's nothing left that we need that's not found in Christ Jesus. We find this, we think about this grand foundation back in chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, if any man built upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Now, we think about this building that we have. We have a foundation that's built by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is built thereupon, and if you will, that Christ is now interceding on our behalf. He has started this work in the Jerusalem church and it followed through even unto us today. And that foundation continues on, if you will, and then we build upon that.
Amen.
Now, if the foundation, again, is not there, it's not a church.
Amen.
It has to have Christ as a foundation or it's not a church. And if Christ is the foundation, then we are responsible to build upon that church. Out on that foundation, a good building. A building that will do what it's called to do.
Amen.
Now, if you have a wooden building, there's nothing wrong with a wooden building. I would think most of this building here is made out of wood and plaster and different things. But this wood is not made for fire. I mean, this building is, we don't say, well, preacher, we wouldn't take a blowgun to the walls or something. That'd be foolish. Why? Because it burned down. That's why. And if you wanted a fireproof building, you'd have to have steel or something. And so we need to know what kind of building we're building, what kind of material we're using. What is the material of the church? Well, it's not the windows. It's not the wood there. It's the members.
Amen.
That's the building of the church.
Right.
And so this building material that we're getting is given to us by God. And so, in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Then in 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased Him. And so we see these two things that God has placed in the church, the members that should be there. Sometimes we think, well, I went and talked to so-and-so, and I convinced them, and the Spirit of God convicted them, and you know, I brought them into the church. Let me say to you, if they're members of the church, the Lord put them there.
You're right.
Amen.
Now, yes, He uses us. He used Abraham. He used Paul. How many churches did Paul start? We don't know. He started a lot of them. But actually, who put those members in the church? All he did was plant, and Paul was water. But it was God that gave the increase. And we think about this increase that He gives is based upon truth. Now, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So we have two things here, that the membership is the building thereof, and that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. That tells me something, that the church must preach the truth. It must live the truth. It must demonstrate the truth. It cannot compromise the truth. If you're the pillar and ground of truth. Now, if you're not the pillar and ground of truth, you can shade it a little bit. I mean, you know, what does it matter? But if you're the one that is the pillar and ground of truth, you cannot. And the church is the pillar and ground of truth. It is each member is placed into that body for a purpose. What then is gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble stand for? Stand for the members of the church. And in this case, Jesus is talking about a whole church. And so many churches have fallen away. Somewhere down the line, they changed that. They quit being the pillar and ground of truth. Somewhere down the road, they thought they had to help God put people in the church. And so they started adding them. Have you ever been to church and wonder if there was anybody saved in it? I mean, there's no evidence. What's going on here? And let me say, when you have easy believism and when you kind of, you know, kind of a wink and a prayer type of thing and put people in the church, you're going to end up with lost people. The Lord only brings people into the church by the gospel.
Amen.
That's the only way He brings them in.
Amen.
He doesn't bring them in any other way. He doesn't bring them in and say, sign this paper or do this little chore. Or we got the biggest singing group in the state of California. Let's all come in. And you can sign a card and be a member. Well, isn't that grand? Isn't that grand? But it's not a church.
Amen.
We are the building. We use the building tools that God has given us. It's not the pricey thing. It's not the glamorous thing that the world likes. We got prayer. We got preaching and teaching and only one book.
Amen.
Only one book.
Right.
I mean, most organizations, they want to base it on something, you know. They need several books. But we just got one book.
Amen.
We're thinking about when they're in 2 Timothy. Four. One. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The preacher has a responsibility just to preach the truth.
Amen.
The church should want the truth.
Amen.
But, you know, preacher, you don't understand. Johnny, he's got into some trouble, and I don't want the preacher to be preaching on that. You know, we need to stay away from that preacher. He may have a little different lifestyle or whatever, but we don't need to preach on that. Besides that just disrupts the church. Let's don't preach on that. Now, let's don't preach on adultery. Let's don't preach on this. Let's don't preach on that. Pretty soon, the preacher don't even need the book.
Right.
Doesn't, does he? Because, you know, we just start tearing the pages out. Well, this one we take. The church should demand the truth.
Amen.
The preacher should preach the truth. And God's people should amen the truth.
Amen.
To encourage he that God has placed in the pulpit. Verse 16. At my first, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, yeah, I use commentaries. I even do what they told me in school, which I didn't do then, but do now. I go and get all I can get out of it. Then I go see what they got out of it that I didn't get out of it. I believe God uses God-called men and writers of books and things like that. And we need to know what this says first.
That's right.
And every passage in here is profitable.
Amen.
And somebody say, well, let's go to 1 Chronicles, preacher. You study those families out and run those lines down, and you'd be profitable to you.
That's right. Amen.
It is a profitable study. And you'll find a relationship and connections in the Old Testament you didn't even think existed.
Amen.
And about Bathsheba and others. What is it to be built, if you will, about building the Lord's house? What about the gold and stubble? When we learn so far as it does it matter to whom we sit under, I was thinking about some churches call what I call a straw preacher, straw man. You know, it's like having a book down here. So, well, what would you like to hear? And you just put in there what you'd like to hear the preacher preach. And if it's not what, and if it doesn't include the whole Word of God, the doctrine, then it doesn't matter. He just preaches whatever people want to hear. He's a straw preacher. Now, when that building comes to the fire, it might look beautiful here. It might have a good, beautiful building, have beautiful people in it. But it's going to be tested by fire. Straw men don't last long in the fire.
Right.
People having itching ears don't last too long in the fire because they're stubble. Some leave the church because they don't like to hear the man of God preaching the true Word of God. I've had people say that. He preaches too much of the Bible. And I said, what do you mean by that? I've heard that, I think, it's three different times since I've been in the ministry. Preach too much of the Word of God. Then there's some I just don't like the preacher. That preacher they call down there, I don't like it. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like his accent. I don't like the way he drinks his water. I don't like anything he does. So we're going down to this church down there, the Church of Heresy. So he takes him and his family to the Church of Heresy. They sit under a false preacher, and his children come up under, if you will, wicked doctrine or false doctrine. He destroys his old family and destroys himself because he didn't like the preacher. Let me say, if God put him in here, you better like him. It's not here to see how good a personality he's got. It's whether he preaches the word of truth or not. Other times they put themselves in a church they don't belong in, and I think you can do that. Somebody asked me one time, he said, well, preacher, I think I'm taking this job over there. And I said, oh, okay. He said, well, is there a church over there? He said, oh, yeah, there's a church over there. But so what? So what? Do you think you can just move yourself anywhere you want to? If people are placed in the bride, placed in the church, which church are they placed in?
Right.
When I look in the Bible, it says churches.
Amen.
I think each one is has an autonomy unto itself before the Lord.
Amen.
Each one can start another church. Not right? They can call their own preacher and they can dismiss their own preacher. They can set in deacons or take deacons out. They can add members. They can dismiss members. They're autonomous.
Amen.
And when God places you in the church, it didn't mean He placed you in a universal church.
Right.
So, you know, I don't like it here. I'll just go over there. They're a true church. The question is, where did God put you?
Amen.
If He put you here, you better stay here until God is the one that's the mover. You say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. Now, let me say to you, the opportunity may be better somewhere else. That's a lot of time people move. You know, well, I can make more money over there. Question is that where God wants you?
Right. Amen.
That's the number one question. It's not whether you get more money over there or whether you can have a better job, better house, better this, better that. The question is God moving you there?
Right.
And I do believe that God does move people. We're not going to get in the other part of that. It is clear also it depends on how well we receive the word preached. Have you ever had barbecued preacher at the dinner table? Boy, he preached that. He mispronounced that word. He never pronounced that word right. And you think that was the whole sermon was the one word he pronounced right. I mean, didn't pronounce right. I heard a preacher one time preach. He's preaching on the church, and he's preaching on John the Baptist. And, And all the way through his sermon, we was about half laughing at him and trying to keep from doing it. Then at the end of the message, then we see how Jesus started his church during his earthly ministry. That's the first time he mentioned Jesus and the church together. Now, we knew the brother. We knew what he meant. We knew what he meant to say Jesus all the way through there. The point I'm making about that, he made a mistake. And yes, we did laugh a little at him, and we did rag him a little bit about it. But we was all good friends. Because we was friends in the Lord. And sometimes a preacher will make a mistake.
Right.
But we love him in the Lord. Why? Because God called him and God placed him. It's not because he's good looking. It's not because he's got a wonderful voice or he doesn't have a voice or whatever it is. It is because that is the man that God's placed here. The preacher has to realize this is the members that God's placed here.
Amen.
He has responsibility to them. He can't preach to the neighbors next door. You ever been in church where they're preaching about the neighbors next door all the time? No, we need to preach to the members that are here.
Amen.
Then there are those that destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we're back in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter again, 16th verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defileth the temple of God, shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and the temple ye are. I think about this passage, and you probably noticed that I skipped a page, but I'm going back and get it. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide with which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the fire. And this is standing in ashes. Now, the pastor has a responsibility.
Amen.
And what kind of material he builds and that uses in building the church is dependent on him, whether he uses the Word of God or not. Whether he uses it rightly, whether he preaches in love, or whether he does not preach in love. And all these things we go through. But let me say to you, we're all standing in that same body. Whether it's gold or silver, or whether it's wood or stubble. We all have a responsibility to pray for the pastor.
Amen.
Encourage the pastor. And not be discouraged in the work, but be encouraged in the work. That we have that house that's built with gold. In the last verses we read, at least, this sin unto death, or this, if you will, the lake of fire, those that destroy the house of God. Now, I was talking about a boat rocker when we started out, and here it's no longer talking about the preacher, it's talking about the church. Any man, any person that destroys the church, God's going to destroy them. What is a boat rocker? They're the one that stirs the pot. They're the ones that cause the boat to rock to and fro and can be capsized. I had trouble in a church one time. I'll just tell you, it was Masons. And these people were really after me. And this one old member of the church come up and pat me and said, I don't know why they're doing it to you, preacher. And I said, that was really nice of him to say that. Mentioned his name. My wife said, I think they got one of those emblems on his car. He was the instigator. He was a pot stirrer. Those that destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus knows which one it is.
That's right.
You can fool a preacher. That's pretty easy sometimes. And you can fool the church sometime, but you cannot fool God.
Amen.
And let me say that when we stand before the Lord, we stand in ashes, or many rewards and crowns of before God. Will it be a house of gold and silver and precious stone? Sometime it's more of a society or a group than it is a church. Let me say, we're to be a church. All the saints will be in glory. Some will be there as by the fire. He says, well, good enough, I'll be in heaven. Well, that's true. Not one crown to lay at the Lord's feet. Not one word from the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. There'll be others standing there with gold, silver, and precious stone. Some be standing in ashes. Some be standing to the glory of God. How can we be sure we're going to be standing to the glory of God? I mean, that in that day, when all are gathered around, we're not going to look at Ephesians, the second chapter and the seventh verse, but down through the ages, it'll be a testimony to the angels and all the heavenly host of God's precious work in Jesus Christ and His wonderful grace.
Amen.
And those that has the reward, and those that the silver and the gold and the precious stone will be the prime examples of what it is Jesus done on the cross of Calvary. The hay, wood, and stubble people that make it, they have no glory to reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should desire that when we see Jesus face to face, He will not say some thing about our life that has been wasted, but that that we have been good and faithful.
Amen.
Job was good and faithful. Did he make mistakes? Of course he did. Everybody here has made mistakes, probably even today.
Right.
But that's not doesn't take away from being faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That we want to Him to be exalted. We want His church to be exalted. We want everybody to know about the Lord Jesus Christ and be in a place where they're going to teach them everything. And where can you find that if it's not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.